Yeah, here we go now, baby. We are right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Friday edition. Before you, Fat Aaron live right now on the Covers YouTube and X channels. If you're watching on YouTube right now, smash that like button right down there. If you are not already subscribed, smash that subscribe button right down there. Great big show planned for you guys today. Three different guests. Brad Powers will be by in a matter of seconds to recap some of the action we saw last night in college football. We'll look at some of the action tonight and into the weekend. So we'll get some best bets from Brad. After that, my old buddy Ian McMillan will be dropping in to talk a little Atlanta Falcons, some of his favorite futures bets and some of his favorite bets for week one of the NFL season. And we will wrap things up with Major League Baseball. As I always say, guys, if you want to be involved in the show, it is very easy to do so. Hit up that live chat on YouTube or over on X. Let us know what bets you were in on tonight for Major League Baseball. What do you like this weekend in college? Any futures you like in the NFL? Super Bowl prediction, perhaps? Drop it in the comments section and we will read a few off throughout the course of the program. Okay, enough small talk. Let's get right into the action. Let's go down to sunny Las Vegas where we join our guy, Brad Powers. Brad, how are we making out?
Doing well. It is always sunny here in Las Vegas, at least 320 days of the year.
Indeed. I've been there twice this year. I hope to get back by the time the year is out. Okay. So last night, the story of the night in college football, of course, the Colorado Buffaloes, they didn't make it easy on themselves. And I guess the story of that game, what a debut by Travis Hunter, around 130 yards, three touchdowns. So my question to you as a prospect, how do you think he stacks up against the receivers that went in the top nine in the NFL draft this year?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, he's a first-round draft prospect, probably going to be play himself into the top 10. As of right now, if you're just looking at him as a wide receiver, I'd rather have the three guys from last year. Just because, I mean, keep in mind, Travis Hunter came out of high school as a defensive back. He was a five-star defensive back. Played a little wide receiver at Jackson State his freshman season. Played a little more wide receiver last year at Colorado. And now it's expected to play more snaps at wide receiver. In his junior season, he's still refining his craft, but I mean, you see the body control, you see the great hands. He needs to get a little bit more physical. He has been in the weight room this offseason, so that's a positive. But I mean, obviously, I'd still rather have Marvin Harrison Jr., Neighbors, and Adunze, at least at this point. That can change by the end of the season. I get, 10 more data points.
So, how good of a defensive back is he? Is he a pro-level defensive back? Because, you know, all the attention, he had three tackles last night. That's not bad, but all the attention's obviously at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, I mean, he could get drafted as a defensive back. It's just, I mean, I don't think he could be a 10-year starting defensive back at the next level. Again, not physical enough. And it seems, look, it could be a mental thing. He wants to play wide receiver. So if you don't want to play something at the next level, at the ultimate level of the sport, I don't know if it's going to be for you.
Okay, so we had an avalanche of games last night. Any big takeaways from what we saw last night?
Well, let's keep it at Colorado. I mean, I think it's a very combustible situation. I mean, can you imagine had they lost that game, what the narrative had been this morning? And on paper, at least as of right now, that was supposed to be their easiest game. Colorado's an 11.5-point favorite. They got Colorado State, but it's on the road. And obviously that game last year at home against Colorado State went to three overtimes. So that's not going to be a layup in a couple weeks. They're going to be about a touchdown underdog at Nebraska next week. I didn't see a much different team than what I saw a year ago. So I saw a lot of athletes in space, but I didn't see it at the line of scrimmage. They got whipped in a lot of spots against North Dakota State at the line of scrimmage. And boy, if you're getting whipped by them, boy, Nebraska's coming to town. You're in a physical Big 12 with the likes of Utah and whatnot. I stand by my 5-7. They're not going to a bowl game.
Yeah, Neon Dion trying to cover the spread there at the end, it looked like.
That would have been – can you imagine had they left – all they had to do was take a knee. Can you imagine if North Dakota State would end up scoring? Again, it's a combustible situation. The narratives will be wild on following Colorado football this year.
Okay, around 500 viewers watching live right now across YouTube and X. A couple guys in the live chat. Our guy Nick Newport Jr., NASCAR expert, has a question in there that we'll get into towards the end of the show. And Mark S., what is up? Fellas, okay, Brad, six games on the board tonight. Do you have a favorite bet or two from the action that's available tonight?
Yeah, let me quickly say, because there's a lot of FBS versus FCS games this weekend, and there was a lot last night. The FBS teams went 19-0 straight up, and you're going to say, hey, Brad, well, yeah, I mean, they're big favorites. Well, they covered 13 of the 19 games, even though they're laying 25, 30, 35, 40, and in some cases 50 points. So, you know, before you want to run to the window and bet that big 50-point underdog, the gap between those two divisions is only getting wider. As far as tonight, keep in mind, lines have been up for the four FBS versus FBS games for 4 months. If I had to play something tonight, Stanford plus +9, home underdog Cardinal here, you know, just it's a night and day difference between last year to this year for this program. Last year, first year coach, bottom five in college football in returning production, and still found a way, even though they lost to an FCS team, won three games, exceeded expectations as far as I was concerned. This year, Stanford top five in the country in returning production, second year in system. Give me them anything over a touchdown.
Okay, let's get into some of the biggest games of the weekend, which is what we will be doing with Brad on all of his Friday appearances on the show. And I should say, I should have led with this, on Monday's show, Brad gave out for best bets Kent State, Pittsburgh over 55 and UCLA minus -14. Not much movement on any of those. So if you're interested in tailing, if you want more of a breakdown, you can go back and watch Monday's show. On the Covers YouTube page, go to the live section. You'll find Monday's show right there. Okay, so let's start with Clemson, Georgia. Of course, Georgia favorites to win it all. The line is on the move here, though, Brad. I believe it was around 13.5 yesterday. I'm seeing at 12, 11.5 now. Any insight as to the drop on the line, and what do you think of the game?
Yeah, expectation is Georgia's going to be without their top two running backs and their third string running backs banged up. So there is a chance they're going to be playing with a walk-on running back tomorrow and Saturday. So, you know, typically a running back's only going to be worth a half a point, but cluster injuries at a position, then you start, you know, get a situation where 1 + 1 = 3. So that's part of the reason. And I just think, generally speaking, people are going to want to take the big number with Clemson, something they haven't been in this big of an underdog role in a decade. I'm going to go a little bit off the beaten path. I'm going to go with the total, because if Georgia's got cluster injuries at running back, to me, they're less inclined to run the football. But what they do like is their quarterback, Carson Beck, the Heisman favorite. And they weren't afraid in the spring game to throw it 48 times with them in a game that mean nothing. I think Georgia's going to open up their offense. They like their wide receivers. They like their tight ends, even though they lost Brock Bowers. They're going to throw a bunch. Clemson, second year of their offensive coordinator, they're going to run some tempo. Give me over 48.
Okay, next up, the Battle of Florida, Hurricanes, Gators. Canes favored by 2.5, total of 54. Both of these teams were strong over bets to close out last season. Gators went 5-7. Hurricanes, kind of disappointing, I guess. Maybe you could view it as at a game above 500. How do you see this one going down?
Yeah, not a high value bet for me. I think you wait and shop and hope to get the three. But as of right now, consensus line is Florida plus +2.5. That's where I lean. Both teams, you know, I just think there's a little bit of disparity in the media narratives around both teams this offseason, just because of strength of schedule. Florida plays the toughest schedule in the country. If you gave them Miami schedule, you know, they'd be at 7.5, 8 wins, and everybody would be saying, yep, this is Billy Napier's best team. And I think that kind of, believe it or not, influences a little bit of the market. So I just keep it simple. SEC team at home catching points against an ACC team.
Okay, next up, we have Notre Dame, Texas A&M. A&M favored by 3, total of 46. The Fighting Irish closed out last season as a pretty solid spread bet, a good over bet as well. But you take a look at the Aggies last season on their home field, 6-1 straight up. How do you see this one going down?
Yeah, I just think both teams' defenses have significant edges towards the opposing offenses, particularly at the line of scrimmage, and particularly A&M's defensive front against an inexperienced Notre Dame front. So I'm going to go under. We've seen Mike Elko against Notre Dame just last year. It was a slugfest Duke-Notre Dame 21-14 game. Two defensive-minded coaches, two elite defensive coordinators. If you count Elko as the defensive coordinator for A&M, Al Golden for Notre Dame. So I'm going to go under 46 as both teams kind of feel themselves out in a big game.
Okay, going down Sunday night. I love when college slots these games in on the Sunday night before the NFL season gets going. This one looks like a lot of fun. USC, LSU, both teams obviously starting over at the quarterback position. We have LSU favored by 4 points, one of the highest totals of the week. 64 points. I believe this game's out in Las Vegas. Is that right?
It is in Las Vegas at Allegiant, where the Raiders play. And you mentioned standalone on Sunday. If they're really smart and cared about money, they'd have three standalone games on that opening Sunday, noon, 3:30. Come on. This is simple, folks. Take advantage of you don't want to compete against the NFL, but what NFL's not playing, go ahead and take advantage of that. But it is what it is there. As far as the game, a lot of money coming on USC. At the current number, I would lean LSU -4. I cannot get over the fact of their offensive line, one of the best, maybe the best offensive line in the country, particularly their set of tackles against an LSU defensive front. There's projected too deep on that defensive line. One guy over 290 pounds. I think they run over USC's defensive front. You do mention the total, though. Both teams' defenses are better this year. And did lose two of the best quarterbacks in college football last year. So what's going to happen with the game in Vegas is everyone's going to be betting over because they were the two best over teams in college football. They're playing one another. At post, 5 minutes before kick, I want to bet under on this game.
Yeah, that's what Jake Butt was saying on yesterday's show, that we lean the under in this one. Are you going to attend the game or not your cup of tea getting out to the crowded stadium?
It depends on how Saturday goes. If it's a great Saturday and I'm feeling good, then I'll try to go. If not, it's, no days off. Get back to the grindstone for week two.
Yeah, a couple cold ones at Allegiant, hopefully, here for Brad. Okay, so before we let you go, so we always talk about it. The reason you come on Monday and you give out your best bets is we want to get ahead of some of these numbers, right? But you hammer it home as much as you want. People are the casual bettor. They'll be hammering a bunch of bets here Saturday morning. So, you're a big volume bettor. I'm sure you're still placing some bets on Saturday morning, looking to take advantage of a few things. So what advice would you have for some bettors there, for things to look out for on a Saturday morning, just a couple hours before the kickoffs?
Yeah, I mean, bet the stuff that's just opening up. I mean, there's 50 FBS versus FCS games. Those are soft numbers. I mean, I'm not asking you to know everything about every FCS school, but if you want to do this a little bit more seriously, pick one conference, study them up in the FCS. So I'd rather be betting that. Check the weather. That's not too hard. I mean, you just look at the Doppler radar and the wind forecast, although the wind doesn't look like it's going to be bad tomorrow across the country. That would be something I'm betting. Other derivative markets, team totals. I would give a team total right now, but it's just not widely available. So that's the kind of stuff that I'm betting. And keep in mind, it's week one. Lines have been out for 3-4 months. Why didn't Brad give out, 10 picks on Monday? That's because, we didn't do a show in May. Otherwise, you would have seen 10, 15 bets from me. The one that I like, it's just, I'll keep it simple. My best bet on today's show is we're going back to the big game, Texas A&M, -145. Why are we not laying the points? Because the line 2 weeks ago was Texas A&M +1. Now they're a 3-point favorite. And it all, goes back to Notre Dame's experienced offensive line. 6 career starts against Texas A&M strength, their defensive front, one of the best in the country. And also the fact this, and I'm playing the money line because of this. When is the last time Notre Dame won a big road game? I looked it up. The last time Notre Dame won as a 3-point or more road underdog, 2012. They just simply don't win these games.
Okay, let's go Aggies. Let's go, Brad. We'll be cheering you on this weekend, tailing some of your action for sure. So we wish you the best of luck with those bets, and we look forward to your appearance on Monday's show. Maybe a little bit more volume because the week two
lines haven't been.
Yeah, absolutely. So we do look forward to that. So, hope you have a good Saturday and you get out to that game on Sunday evening. We'll get a little bit of a recap from you. But until then, best of luck, and we will catch you on Monday.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
Yes, sir. The man right there. Okay, let's shift gears to the other football now, professional football, the NFL. And very excited for my next guest. Makes, quarterly appearance this year. On Before You Bet, my old partner, my old friend, the pride of Colebrook, Nova Scotia, former Wendy's employee, Ian McMillan. Ian, let's get to the bottom of something. Now, I never really dug into this with you, but I believe you told me during your time at Wendy's, you had a coworker and he licked the buns once, or he was just a one-time thing, or did this happen on multiple occasions?
No, yeah, it was a real circus working at Wendy's Colebrook, but that is why I make sure when I go through the drive-thru that I am pleasant to the person taking my order, because yeah, I worked with a guy who, if he didn't like the person that you know, whose order he was taken, he would lick their bun. It wasn't a common thing. It probably happened once every 2 weeks. And sometimes, to be honest, the guy might have deserved it. So yeah, just be nice to the people in the drive-thru when you place an order at a gross, rundown Wendy's, or someone may like lick the bun of your junior bacon cheeseburger.
Now, did you ever confront this worker, or did you just sit back like a coward and watch it happen?
No, I just sat disgusting. Back. Not my burger.
Perhaps a little intimidated there. You know, I've been into that Wendy's twice over the summer. 99-cent Frosties. I will be avoiding the burgers, though. However, I am nice to customer service workers, though, right? You know, you got to have respect for these people when you go out. These people, you see people complaining at fast food restaurants. It's like, guys, you're not at a 5-star restaurant. You're in there dropping $6 for your supper. You're not going to get 5-star service. So settle down.
I wish it was $6 for my supper. I don't think it is anymore, Joe.
It's getting out of
I got Wendy's on my drive back to New York. It was like $13 for one meal.
Yeah, it's pathetic. It's like, I have a family of four. Let's go out and hit the drive-thru up and $52 at McDonald's.
It's unbelievable.
It's pathetic. What is going on in this election year? Hopefully we can get that figured out, the price of fast food. Okay, enough fast food talk. Save more of that for another day, perhaps, Ian. But let's get into some football. So the last time you were on the show, it was right after round one of the NFL draft. We both kind of mocked the Falcons for the Michael Penix situation. You're seeing a lot of people really kind of warm up to that, I guess. I haven't changed. I still think it was stupid. They should have picked a guy that they could have slotted into the defense or a starter at another position. But either way, a lot of hype around your team, a lot of hype for maybe the most hyped team in the league. Kind of the Jets are the favorites and win the AFC East now for some reason. But betting aside, you're a diehard Falcons fan. What are your expectations for this team going into the season?
Yeah, I have high expectations, Joe. I mean, especially when you look at the fact they have by far the easiest schedule in the NFL. It's not even close. When you look at each team's opponent's projected win total, it's the Falcons by far have the easiest schedule. Now, when the schedule actually came out, it does work against them a little bit in the fact that the start of the season is going to be a little bit tough. Game against the Chiefs early on, against the Eagles week two. But if they can survive the first 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, the back, two-thirds of the schedule is going to be very easy. So my expectations for the Falcons are for them to win a playoff game. I think if they win a playoff game, that is a successful season. I'm happy with that. And I can move forward with my life. If they miss the playoffs, Joe, this is the biggest failure of a Falcon season in my 2+ decades watching this team. They have to, at the very least, make the playoffs, most likely win the division. If they don't, then it's going to be a disaster. So make the playoffs. I'm satisfied. Win a playoff game. I'm happy. I think winning a playoff game, win the division, host a game in the wild card round, win that game, and then I'm happy. And then anything more than that is a cherry on top.
Yeah, John Middlecoff, we had him on the show on Wednesday. One of his favorite futures bets was for the Falcons not to make the playoffs. But it is a cupcake division. You know, the kind of narrative about them all last season is, hey, they're a quarterback away. Now they got two quarterbacks. So
yeah, I mean, people forget heading into week 18. Now they had a little bit of an outside possibility, but they had a chance to win the NFC South heading into week 18. They had Desmond Ridder as their quarterback, who just got cut for Clayton Tune from the Cardinals. He stinks. One of the worst starting quarterbacks in NFL history, and they still almost won the division. So we got Kirk Cousins. We got some pieces on defense. Judon, Simmons were a much better team. New coach, great offensive coordinator. If they can almost win the division last year with the roster and the quarterback and the coaching they had, they got to do it this year.
Yeah, I am aligned with you in terms of my Dolphins. What's a good year for the Dolphins? Win a fucking playoff
win
game
a playoff
here, game. Guys. You know, they've had some bad injury luck down the stretch the past couple seasons. Skylar Thompson starting in the playoffs 2 years ago, and then the coldest game of all time in the playoffs absolutely decimated. I think that whole the Dolphins not being able to play in cold weather, I do think that's a little overblown based on that game. Not a lot of teams are going to go into that situation against a team that went on to win the Super Bowl, by the way, on their home field and won the coldest games of all time and have a good performance. So, looking forward to the season. Can't wait to get it underway. But this – probably the last show we're going to be talking futures bets because we're getting into the week one stuff, but let's get a few from you. Do you have two favorite futures bets that you absolutely love, that you absolutely expect to win here?
Yeah, I'll give you a long shot that I like. Okay. There are a couple long shot future bets. One that I like in terms of a division winner, I really like the Packers to win the NFC North. I'm not high on the Lions this year. I thought the record was a little bit better than how they played last season. If you look at, Joe, you know, one of our favorite stats, net yards per play last season. I think the Lions were like 11th in the NFL in net yards per play. Now they have a first place schedule. And then you got the Packers, obviously one of the youngest teams in the NFL. Usually these young teams take a step forward after, you know, another year of experience. We saw how good they were in the second half of the season last year. Should the Lions be favored to win the division? Yeah, probably. Should they be as big a favorites as they are? I absolutely do not think so. So I like the Packers to win the NFC North. A little bit of a long shot play that I like for a future. A little bit of a strange one that you probably haven't heard. I like the Vikings to be the last winless team. So for the Vikings to be the last team to win a game. Okay. The reason why, week one, this bet also may immediately lose because they have the Giants in week one. So that's a winnable game for the Vikings. I think the Lions at close to a pick them. But after week one against the Giants, listen to the Vikings' next six games. 49ers, Texans, Packers, Jets, Lions, Rams, and then even after that, Colts and Jaguars. So like after week one, they got a tough stretch. I'm not a Sam Darnold guy. People were telling me last year Sam Darnold is better than Brock Purdy when he was his backup in San Francisco. That's insane. He's never done anything in the NFL. I like this bet even more now that J.J. McCarthy is hurt and Sam Darnold's the starting quarterback. So once again, that bet could lose week one if they beat the Giants, yes, which is like a pick 'em. But if they don't win that game, it's going to be a while before they get the first win. So that's like 11-1 I got that at for the Vikings to be the last team to get their first win.
Okay, that's fair. I like that breakdown. Okay, I'm going to ask you about week one here in a second, but everyone who's been on the show this week, we got to get your Super Bowl pick. Who do you like to beat who?
So, yeah, on one of my shows, Stacked in the Box, I gave out a Super Bowl pick. So I'm going to give out the same one. I could also tie this into another long shot bet that I like, and I promise this isn't pandering, Joe, but I do love your Miami Dolphins this season. Miami Dolphins to be the number one seed in the AFC 10-1. There's a futures bet for you. And my pick is for the Dolphins to now it's a bold pick for them to beat the Cowboys in the Super Bowl.
Oh, the battle of the frauds. Could you imagine they both get there?
You know me, Joe. God. I got a soft spot for frauds. I got a soft spot for teams who choke in big spots. Sometimes if you knock on the door enough, eventually it's going to open for you. We saw it, not to switch sports, my guy Xander Schauffele is a longtime Xander guy, biggest choker of all time. What happened this year? He won two majors. It can happen. These choking teams, these choking athletes can get through. I think the Cowboys are an extremely talented roster, three straight seasons of 12-5. I think the Dolphins have the most explosive offense in the NFL, and they low-key made a lot of really good additions on defense.
Yeah, secondary is going to be good.
Secondary is going to be a lot better. A lot of good veteran depth pieces. I think they had kind of an underrated offseason with some defensive signing. So I love the Dolphins this year. I like them to be the number one seed in the AFC. Now we'll see if they can rack up those playoff wins. But if you're looking for a dark horse Super Bowl winner, I don't think there's anyone better than the Dolphins.
Yeah, they can get that home field advantage. You know, the Boston Celtics, I wouldn't say that they were necessarily choking a lot, but they were a team that couldn't get over the hump in the NBA playoffs. We saw them do that this year. And I think with the Dolphins, I haven't heard a whole lot of positivity from people, but it's either, no, I don't like them, or, they might get in, they might not. I think that they just left a really bad taste in people's mouths, the way things ended last season. Sometimes people don't look at the context of the situation.
Yep.
They were down like six defensive starters at the end of the season. Both running backs were beat up. Tyreek Hill, Waddle were beat up, and revolving door on the offensive line. But, you need to have some injury luck. That's why I think it's hard for the Kansas City Chiefs to necessarily three-peat. It might be hard for the 49ers to get back too. Injury luck has a lot to do with it. So, I absolutely love that pick. The Dolphins over the Cowboys. How fun would that be? Week one. I think that's probably the end of NFL futures talk on the show. We've been doing it for six yeah. months here. So let's end that right now. Is there anything on the week one board? I'm sure you still have some more research to do. I absolutely do. But is there anything that you've already clicked the bet button on?
Yeah, I'm in the process. As you know, Joe, I bet on every single game. So yes. I'm in the process of locking in my week one picks. I'll give it a pick that I do have locked in, and it's for opening night Ravens Chiefs. It's not a fun bet. Nobody wants to cheer for an under bet on opening night, but I think that has to be the smart bet against the Ravens and the Chiefs. People forget the Ravens and the Chiefs, the top two scoring defenses in the NFL last season, fewest opponent yards per game or opponent points per game, fewest opponent points per play, top five in opponent yards per play. Like we obviously all know how good the Ravens defense is, but I think some people are forgetting just how good the Chiefs defense is too. And we got a total of 46.5. That's too high of a total for me on opening night between, you know, two of the top five defenses in the NFL. I get that it's not a fun bet. Maybe you can sprinkle in some prop bets too, so you have something fun to cheer for. But I love opening night Ravens Chiefs. I love the under.
Yeah, I got to dig into that one a little bit more. I'm leaning Chiefs to cover this spread, kind of based on the fact that last year's season opener against the Lions, they were kind of just sleepwalking that entire game. As you recall, they lost that game on their home field. So I think they come out with a little bit more passion, a little bit more fire this time around. Okay, Ian, so some busy months ahead for both you and I. It is a fun way to make a living. Let the people know what you have going on this season and where they can find your work.
Yeah, you can find my written work on sportsillustratedsi.com/betting. If you, like I mentioned earlier, I bet on all 272 NFL games. It is the road to 272 bets. You can listen to that on the Bacon Bets podcast. And I'm also doing a show where I'm talking NFL non-betting stuff twice a week, stacking the box. It's Mondays at 9:30 a.m. and then Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, previewing the upcoming week. So, yeah, a lot of stuff going on.
And aside from that, Ian and I are going to get a petition going to lower the prices of fast food. Yes. Ian, best of luck this season. Best of luck to your Falcons. And we'll look to check in with you again maybe in a month or so.
Sounds good, Joe. Thanks for having me on. Take care and good luck to your Dolphins.
Thanks, buddy. Have a good weekend. Okay, there we go. What a spot. A solid 12 minutes. Ian, bring in the heat. Never shy with the hot takes. Okay, final segment, section of today's show. Let's get into some Major League Baseball as we are on the doorstep of the final month of the regular season. We bring in the man with the sexiest smile in all of sports betting, our guy Jingles. What's shaking, man?
Good spot. I love Brad Powers' cluster math. 1 + 1 = 3. That's a cool line. I like that a lot. And Ian never makes me want to eat at Wendy's again. So, but always great to hear his insights. And I mean, he's high on the Dolphins, right? Like it's a contrarian play. I know you liked it, but it is a pretty big number for the number one seed. What was it? 11-1. So.
Yeah,
me. And I'm not running out to get it, but like it's in the range of possibilities.
Producer Mick and I were talking before the show, and you know, I think the Dolphins have a good season getting to the playoffs. But in terms of the way the schedule laid out, they backloaded the schedule on them again. That is the last thing this team needed, because it's been the past two seasons they get to this checkpoint when they're about 8-4, 9-3. You know, just. You know, one of the top teams in the league. Then they get to this checkpoint, the final half of the season, and things turn to shit. And they made the schedule very difficult for them. So they're going to have to overcome that. And hopefully
then your cold front narrative is going to be loud again, right? Because the schedule
Listen. Those final two games, they go to New York against the Jets and Cleveland against the Browns. They're not going to Kansas City to play the Chiefs and Cincinnati to play the Bengals or Baltimore against the Ravens. So the competition does matter. But yeah. Not a favorable situation. So it's something you got to overcome. You're playing in the AFC. Most of the top teams play in cold weather, outdoor situations. Although the Bills, are they still talking about building a dome in Buffalo? I know they're doing a new field, and there was talk of them doing a dome, but maybe they backtracked on that a little bit.
If Josh Allen's your quarterback, wouldn't you want that as your advantage in the cold weather, just to have a strong arm, gigantic human being to – right? As opposed to you don't want to face Miami indoors in late January.
Well, that's your home field advantage, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. That was a story from maybe a year ago. Maybe they backtracked on that, though. Okay, so I think we got, what, seven total picks here for Major League Baseball. Big Martin Perez Day.
Ooh, Martin Perez.
On the show. Producer Mick, maybe we should have thrown him in the thumbnail instead of promoting, or we should have led with Martin Perez, never mind this college football stuff. But let's get into it. I got two to lead off, and then we'll kind of go back and forth here a little bit. Let's start with a good old-fashioned full-game money line bet. It's been a while, but I think we got a good one here. Plus money on the San Diego Padres. Take them to win this game in Tampa Bay at that dump Tropicana Field. So the wheels have fallen off here for Taj Bradley. He was on an absolute roll, not much anymore, though. A 7.96 ERA over his last five starts, five or more earned runs three times in this span. Taking on the Padres, strong versus right-handed pitching. Martin Perez, a lot more on him here soon. He is delivering for the Padres. He came over to them at the deadline for the Pirates. He has a 2.70 ERA. Since coming over, five starts, San Diego, 5-0 in those five games. Really rallying behind this guy. He's taking on a Rays team that stinks against left-handed pitching, and the bullpen edge does go to San Diego, second versus 25th in bullpen FIP over the last 2 weeks. So all eggs into one basket for me with Martin Perez. I'm going to take him on a prop bet under 2.5 earned runs coming in at plus 100. So he is 4-1 against this number since joining the Padres. Plus sub 90 pitch games aren't rare for him. I believe back-to-back 79 pitch games for Perez here as a member of the Padres, taking on a Tampa Bay team. Like I said, awful versus left-handed pitching, 27th in OPS over the last month with a very high strikeout percentage. And they also stink at home here offensively. They're ranked 29th in Major League Baseball in OPS at home since the All-Star break. And for the season, they also ranked 29th in runs scored in innings 1-5. So a big Martin Perez night potentially. Now, you don't necessarily hate him tonight, but there's a market that you don't like him in.
I don't like him, but like the numbers he's put up in San Diego aren't who Martin Perez is. This was a guy who was an 11-5 to his under strikeout total in Pittsburgh before coming over. He had a really great stretch, but his last two starts, you kind of touched on, Joe, 79 pitches, 79 pitches. Why is he only going 79 pitches? Well, guess what? He's been getting blown up. He started off last start really well. I was on his over 15.5 outs, but the wheels fell off. And when his wheels fall off, it gets ugly. A lot of pitches per plate appearance. So don't expect him to go very deep. Let's hope Martin Perez can kind of fall back to who he is. Obviously, the only issue there is Tampa Bay. We know that, I mean, they're a very high strikeout team. But in this spot, I think the leash is worth the risk there. So we can both go, but I'm not too high on Martin Perez. But I'll take 75 pitches from him.
Yeah, so that short leash actually favors both of our bets here. So let's hope. Here's a good situation. He throws three innings. No, he throws four innings, let's say. 60 pitches. The Padres get off to a great start. They go up 4-0. Somebody at Tropicana Field pulls the fire alarm. Ooh. They got to evacuate the building. And then they restart the game about an hour and a half later. He doesn't come back, and the Padres go on to win and get the money line for me there as well. Jeez. So
imagine like if you were there and you're like Sonny Grace at 5.2 outs, right? And you're at Busch Stadium and you just go pull that fire alarm just to win your $50 bet. Would it be worth it? Probably not.
Just to win your parlay. Yeah. Who knows? People are desperate out there. Okay, let's keep on rolling here. Fun looking series in Houston this weekend. The Kansas City Royals in town. Seth Lugo on the bump here. I don't understand this number. So his outs recorded is set at 18.5. Minus 145. I think this one is worth it. So Lugo, absolutely. This guy has had a great season. Not a lot of pitchers break out in their mid-30s, but he has. But he is starting to get smacked around here. Four or more earned runs allowed in four of his last six starts. And consider the competition lately here for Seth Lugo. So lights out performances since the All-Star break versus the Angels, Tigers, and White Sox. But it was absolutely awful against the Phillies, Twins, Red Sox, and Cubs. Four or more earned runs allowed against each of those opponents. And the Astros, obviously a pretty solid opponent, especially on their home field. Pretty good versus right-handed pitching here. Ninth in OPS. A lot of hard contact over the last 2 weeks. So Lugo might have a good game here. He might throw six innings, a shutout baseball.
But I was actually hoping it flipped to 17 and a half so I could get like plus 190.
Yeah, I had my eyes on that as well. But yeah, I was under the impression it was going to move, but it stood still there at 18 and a half. So I'll happily bet that one. Next up, let's go to Cincinnati. Nick Martinez on the bump, the Brew Crew in town. And what do you like for him?
Game starts in 5 minutes. Game one of a doubleheader.
Wow.
I know, but this one has, and you can see in the graphic, it has a very wide range of outcomes here. He threw just 54 pitches in his last start and went just three innings pitched. Gave the ball to Carson Spires after. We could see that. We're not sure, but that's kind of one of the possibilities. And if he does go, I mean, he's a hit per inning guy, and his leash is kind of short. He's like a reliever turned starter. He's only got maybe three starts in him since coming out of the bullpen. There's a situation where he goes five innings and gives up five hits, but there's also the probability of him going three innings and passing the torch to Carson Spires, especially in the first game of that doubleheader. So they might be doing that. No one's really talking about it. And if you get some of those unders, it might be sweat-free if all of a sudden Cincinnati's like, nope, three innings, that's all we need from you today.
Okay, closing in on 1,500 live viewers right now across YouTube and X, active live chat. Nick Newport Jr., he likes Lugo over 2.5 earned runs. Like I said, he has been struggling against good competition. He is on the road against a pretty solid Astros team. Guys, hit up that live chat. Let us know where you are watching from. Let us know what you like tonight in college football, if there's any action that you are on. Okay, two more bets to go here. Not a guy I back often, but I think a pretty good situation here, and I think the numbers support it. Austin Gomber of the Colorado Rockies at home. We're going to go over 15 and a half outs, minus 115. So you dig into it, and it kind of surprised me. So Gomber, the guy is out there to eat innings, quite simply. So he's had 16 or more outs in 9 of his last 12 starts and in 6 of his last 7 at Coors Field. So if he gets out there and if he allows, 3-4 runs and the pitch count is still relatively low, they're going to keep him in the game. And I think he has an opportunity not to get the absolute shit kicked out of him tonight against an Orioles team that is really struggling offensively right now, 27th in OPS over the last 2 weeks. And another part I like about this bet, no rush for Colorado to run out to the bullpen. Their bullpen stinks, first of all. And second of all, they threw 5 innings there yesterday. So they would absolutely love to get 6 innings pitched out of Gomber here tonight.
We got to check your Colorado starting pitcher love, Joe. It's starting to get out of hand.
What's that now?
How much you love Colorado pitchers over this week?
I mean, I can't, what was it? The Marlins were in town. This is a bit better of a series here to get to see the Orioles play. But my God, man. I was thinking today too about like what an awful situation to be drafted to certain, like if you're a stud high school pitcher we talked about and you get drafted by the Colorado Rockies, like your life is set up so much differently if you get drafted by the Dodgers, the Yankees, the Red Sox, as opposed to, hey, you've been picked by the Oakland Athletics.
No.
You've been picked by the Miami. If you get picked, if you're a good player, you get drafted to Miami Marlins, the Oakland A's, even the Tampa Bay Rays. Your best hope is that, hey, you're a really good player, and then you will get traded to the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Red Sox, right? So
you're just showcasing in the minors just to get the ticket out of town. But how bad Oakland runs their own franchise, could you imagine how bad? I don't even know who their affiliates are, but like their single A team must just be, you know what I mean? Like just hurting. Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, the worst bus in town.
Tap water.
Oh God, no.
It was warm tap water.
Oh yeah.
That'd be rough. Okay. Let's wrap up the MLB section of the show. Then a bit of a question to kick around here. So Ben Lively on the mound, the Guardians playing host to the Pirates. The Pirates on a 1-9 slide on the road here, kind of limping to the finish line here as we go into the final month of the season. What do you like for Lively tonight?
Yeah. Pittsburgh also had to sit on that ungodly blown win for Paul Skeens, where they gave up 11 unanswered runs to Chicago on Wednesday. Ben Lively, this is my favorite play of the day by far. Under five and a half, 5.5 hits allowed, plus 110. It's starting to get shorter. Coming off a season high, 105 pitches. That's very alarming for a guy who was averaging 85 pitches per start over his previous 10 and on the season. That's a lot more pitches. There's a lot of outs within this. Even if he pitches on a full leash, which he probably won't, I still like the under. He's gone under in this with a full leash in 6 straight games. So best case scenario, they hold him to about 80 pitches. Under looks great versus a bad offense. Worst case scenario, gets a full leash, and he's shown that he can go under this number even with that. So plus money is wild. I really have this price closer to like minus 125. We're starting to see the books slowly trickle down, but it's something I'll take, and it's certainly my favorite play of the day.
Okay, let's recap our bets here for the day. Then a question to kick around. So my best bets, I like the Padres. Full game money line. A little bit of plus money there. Martin Perez, all eggs in the one basket here with the Padres. under 2.5 earned runs. Seth Lugo, under 18.5 outs. And Austin Gomber, over 15.5 outs. Jingles, if you want to recap your picks there.
Yeah, all going just the under train there. Ben Lively, under 5.5 hits allowed, plus money. Martin Perez, under 4.5 strikeouts, minus 110. And Nick Martinez, who's starting right now, under 5.5 hits allowed, plus 115. Please give me 3 innings of Nick Martinez, and I'll be happy to see. Milwaukee's a pretty good money line favorite right now, minus 115. Okay. Colin Ray versus that Nick Martinez combo maybe with Carson Spires. So I'm also on that Milwaukee money line.
Okay, closing in on 2,000 live viewers, so that's a lot more than we started with. A lot of you guys might be tuning in to catch the Brad Power segment. That was at the start of the show, but you can easily go back to the start of the show over on the YouTube channel. Brad broke down some of his favorite plays for the biggest games this weekend, so you're going to want to check that out. If you're new, we're bringing in a lot of new viewers. That's what football season does. You're going to want to be subscribed to the Covers YouTube channel. We are covering everything that there is to cover in the world of sports betting. We're going to be all over the NHL season when that's gets going. Jingles, one of our lead guys there for sure. All over the NFL, college football, UFC, PGA, you name it, NBA kicking off soon here as well. So a fun question to kick around here, Jingles. NASCAR expert, he says, good morning, gentlemen. Yesterday, you guys talked about the best MLB uniforms. Who has the best uniforms in the NFL? So what I will say about that is Major League Baseball with their uniforms, I think they have a little bit more to work with in terms of how they incorporate the logo. Yeah. Football, just kind of like the big numbers. Maybe they'll have like a patch of the logo up in the corner. But the full uniforms in terms of home, away, the alternate, for me, it would have to be the San Francisco 49ers with the red and the gold and the white. They look absolutely beautiful. I think the Detroit Lions with that shade of blue, they look great. I don't mind their alternates, the gray ones. And then my number one jersey in the NFL, I'm biased, of course, but it is the Miami Dolphins green throwbacks. Absolute beautiful. What says you?
I'm boring. I'm very boring. But it comes from, I don't know, growing up, early 90s, lots of hip-hop. Just the Raiders blacks.
Yes.
Right? They were just so iconic. Cool. I had a Tim Brown jersey. I thought I was the baddest guy on the block. I got a Bo Jackson black too. And I just think it's the sharpest one. Because like you said, you don't get a lot to play with for an NFL uniform, but the blacks are probably by far the most intimidating ones.
Another color scheme I like, the Giants and the Bills. They go with the blues with the white lettering with the red around it.
Yeah.
I think that those look pretty good. Guys, if you're watching the replay, hit up the comment section. Let us know who has the best uniforms in the NFL. And we're going to leave it at that, the 44-minute show here today. But it was a big week this week. It was the first week we went 5 days a week covering a lot of college football, NFL futures. But next week, we're talking NFL games, baby. Week one is here, less than a week away. We got the Thursday night football game. We got the Friday night football NFL game, which I absolutely love because the start of every NFL season, that gap between the season opener on Thursday and then the Sunday games, it always feels like forever. So it's so perfect that they're getting this Friday night football game, and it's a great matchup too, down in Brazil. Eagles and Packers kind of leaning the over in that one. Some more research to do on that one. Nick Newport Jr. says the 90s Seahawks unis. Yeah, they were beautiful. I think they wear those throwbacks around once a year. Sexy stuff right there. Okay, Jingles, best of luck with all of your bets here tonight and over the course of the weekend. You're going to be back with us on Monday. Brad Powers is going to be back with us on Monday. You're not going to want to miss that one. Those are going to be his best bets of the week. You want to get ahead of a lot of these numbers here, and that's what Brad's going to be doing with us every single Monday for college football. So we do hope to see you guys then. Best of luck with all your bets tonight and over the weekend. We will catch you guys on Monday.